Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for tuning in to Purifying Truths with Ace Star. It is a pleasure to have you with us today. We have a gem, people, all the way from Haiti originally, by way of New York, and now living in the Sunshine State in the City Beautiful. Welcome, Sue Thomas, to Purifying Truths. Sue Thomas, for those of you who don't know, is a mother, a grandmother, an author, and a registered nurse. Welcome to Purifying Truths, Sue.
Thank you, Miss Amelia. Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. Super excited to have you on the show. Understanding today, you're going to take us on a journey, giving us gems on life, love, trials, overcoming trials, and of course, triumph, because you have been through so much. So we're just waiting to glean from you. Tell us a little bit, if you will, about your childhood.
Well, I came to this country in 1971, over 50 years ago, and right into Brooklyn. Did not speak a word of English. I had to attend ESL classes. I lived in Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn, for those of you who know Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn, primarily Jewish, upcoming immigrants from Jamaica, Haiti. We were that part of that Big Apple. And it was an exciting time in my life, and I thrived.
So when many people think of Brooklyn, they think of Clutcher Purchase. Don't look that way. Look straight ahead. Don't look up at the tall buildings. You know, they don't think of Brooklyn as they do Manhattan. Did you have any struggles in Brooklyn growing up, or was it more community?
In my area, it was more community. We were the latchkey kids because my mom had to work, and there were many of us in that household. I had six siblings. One of my sisters since passed, but you know, we had to come home. We had to prepare. My mom worked as a domestic, and she provided for us as a single mom. And you knew to listen to your elders. Same thing as growing up South. You have that respect. We didn't say yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am in Brooklyn, but you knew that a neighbor was allowed to even hit you if you didn't do right, and then tell your mom, and your mom would beat you up. So we had the same upbringing as, you know, your typical. So, you know, you had to come home, do your school work, and then you had to study, recite, learn English. And it became a routine until you got to the next grade. So the elders would help the youngest. So normal household we grew up in.
It seems like you had structure and discipline, just like, quote unquote, the rest of America. So understanding growing up in Brooklyn, you then begin to thrive through elementary, high school. As you begin to enter into young adulthood, I'm sure you begin to fall in love. Describe that process for us.
Well, after graduating from high school, I went to community college, which you were expected to go to college. I met my boyfriend the first day of class. And this is the man that I subsequently fell in love with and married, who fathered my two children.
Wow.
And believe it or not, I was all of 19 years old. I remember my mom saying, I did not send you to school for that. I sent you to school for an education. But we wound up marrying and having a family of two. And my children are now grown, and I'm a grandma.
Wow. At 19, you made the decision to get married. That took a lot. And you stayed married at 19 and had a family. That's maturity. I'm sure that it wasn't all smooth sailing. Would you like to share with us some things that you had to go through at 19, being a mother, being a wife, and being a student?
Well, sure. I had my son at 20, and then I went back to school and got my associates. We made it work. My husband was an accountant, and we struggled. We lived in apartments. apartment buildings, and we lived in a house, and then subsequently we bought a house. And then we grew apart. My husband was 7 years older than I was. He wanted certain things that I didn't, and I wanted, a growing family, and he did not. So then, we chose to go our different ways, but we were in love once, and we made it work for as long as it possibly could.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look back, if there was something that you could do different, Sue, what would that be?
I think at the time, I wouldn't have gotten married so early if I had a choice. Growing up in a Haitian family, I was pregnant when I got married. Okay. So that decision was made for me to get married because, my mother thought at the time she had four girls and she wanted all of us to be married. And I was her last daughter and I was going to get married. But if I had to do it all over again, I think I probably would have lived with him and get to know life more. I think I was too young, in my opinion. Now, there are those, it worked for them, but for me, I didn't allow myself to grow enough. So I take accountability for that too.
Understood, but also applaud you because in that era, it was frowned upon if you were pregnant and not married, and God forbid you were a single mother, where now it is more accepted and more common. Looking back during that time frame, you were a trailblazer because you not only put forth the effort, but you knew when you were growing apart. And so many stay, and they stay for the wrong reasons. Not saying that divorce is to be handled lightly, but understanding that there are times where it is necessary. So please tell me what happened to make you know that it was time to separate and go your separate ways.
My sons were my life. So I chose them over the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to work harder. I had to improve my work ethics. I had to set examples for them. And I had to ensure that they knew they were wanted. So I had a life to build for them because they are my future. And they entail will become parents. So I had to put on my big girl panties and just be a provider, be a mother to them. So we discussed it. My husband didn't want to divorce. He just wanted to just go and move someplace else while still binding me. So it took 10 years for us to divorce, but we weren't together during that period. Weird, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's strange how sometimes that just that attachment is needed from the party, yeah, even though they don't want to input, but they want that attachment, a sort of a control thing. I applaud you that, like you said, you know what I mean? You took life by the horns and you took care of your boys. And me being a single parent as well, having two black men, boys as well, certainly, we have a lot to prepare them for, as life is not kind to any of us, but certainly they have more than their fair share of troubles ahead if they are not guided in the right direction. So it does take extra to parent our boys. And so hats off to you for making that sacrifice, even in the hard times, because I know it couldn't have been easy to do on your own. Okay. So as you are parenting and being a role model for these boys, teaching them the way, what gave you strength? Why didn't you give up or throw in the towel?
I attended church. I had a good, solid church foundation in Brooklyn, and I had good support. And I knew the Lord wouldn't let me go because he made me that promise that if I keep my second son, he will guide me. And I did not choose the other route. And I did have my son, and God has not left my side ever since.
Amazing.
So I trust and believe my Lord and Savior.
Amazing. Faith plays such a big part in our lives. Certainly, Faith and a strong support system will get you through just about everything. I believe that with faith and a strong support system, you can get through everything. And certainly your life is a testament that you can get through being a single parent. As we're talking and thinking of the way life is now, for that young person that may be a single parent or maybe in a marriage and not really wanting to be for whatever the reasons, what advice would you have for them in what they should do or could do to make life better for them and their children?
While I am not a therapist, my advice to them is education. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, this COVID was an ideal opportunity for a person to continue school because you could do it from home. You could get a degree to better yourself. So for me, it was education. I went back to school. I took courses. Back then, I was an administrative assistant. I landed a job that I spent 16 years on. I was prompt. I did anything extra that was asked of me. And all of this, when you're getting your reviews at work, it's a plus. So it allowed me to pay the bills. It allowed me to provide for my children. So I tell any young person, two is better than one, right? If it's better for you to remain in a marriage, that's going to be better for you, that you're not going to be the footmat in it, that you're going to pull together, make it work. But if it doesn't, do not forget yourself. Education, education, education. Love on your children, love on yourself, because I believe self-care is so vital, because if you're the only one working and you're forgetting yourself, it'll be too much. It'll be like an albatross over your head. So self-care while you're providing for your family is essential.
That's profound too. And what I hear you say, that we have to be diligent in all things. Even when we're working, we have to be diligent. We never know who's watching. We never know if that next promotion is going to be given to us. And also to work with high standards and always increase our education. We can always learn something. Even if it's not earning a degree, you can always be learning. You can always learn more. And truly, it's not just cliche. Education is key. The more you know, the more you're able to provide a service. The more you can provide, the more someone's willing to pay you. The more you're getting paid, the more you can provide for your family. So I'm on board with what you're saying. Totally agree and understand. Now, you mentioned something about being alone and self-care. And so as you ventured through life after divorce, obviously you had some time where it was you and your children. And so I believe that you practice self-care and self-love to get through that. What are some ways that you practice that?
And I still do to this day. I make sure my nails, my hair are on point. Now, my bathtub, I love showers, quick to go. But I'm twice a month. I make sure, even from the Dollar Tree, it doesn't have to be expensive candles, even though you can go to the 99-cent store and get candles and light up around your tub with a glass of wine and just have a me moment. Go out and do girls, if you have a grandmother or a friend that have other children, have, girls' night out, do a movie. If you can't afford a movie, there's Netflix. Do something for you. Buy a purse. Buy a dress. And there are thrift stores. You can buy a dress. It doesn't have to cost a lot. Just to get that I feel good moment so that you can be empowered to go do and be.
Yes, yes. Because if you don't take care of you, how can you take care of those that depend on you? It's so very important to have yourself in the right headspace. And I love the way that you bring it to our attention that it doesn't take a part-time job to give yourself self-love. It can be very inexpensive to do.
And then what do you have to say for those that are like, oh, I don't have any time. I don't have time. I can't do that. I'm very busy. How do you address them? Because as we are in this time of COVID, many of us are working from home or, you know, and everybody's at home. And it seems as though, I heard you say shut the door, but it seems as though we're being pulled in every direction. How do you set aside that time for me moments?
Me moments can be while your children nap. You can have prayer time in your closet. That's a me moment. You can make 5 minutes. You can make half an hour in the morning before they wake up to exercise. You can go on the porch and sit and just pull a breath to just say, oh, that's a me moment. It doesn't have to take 10 hours. It could take 5 minutes to just breathe, to know, you know, oh God, thank you for another day. That's a me moment. And it doesn't have to take a zillion hours. A me moment can be 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 1 hour or more. It could be a spa day. It could be anything that your budget warrants.
I agree. And again, so important. We put everything on our agenda, but many times we leave ourselves off when certainly we should be on there as well. So tell me, please, 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 more about you. We know what you've been through. We know some pointers on parenting and, you know, how to take care of ourselves and self-love. We've touched a little bit on divorce and when it's necessary and how to work on it or leave, depending on the situation. But tell me about this writing that you do. I know you're a published author. Your book is called...
My book is called A Three-Ring Circus.
All right.
A Three-Ring Circus. My book is on infidelity. And it evolved around my learning that my husband of 7 years had a 2-year-old within the marriage. Yes, ma'am.
Wow. That had to be heartbreaking. And then you put it out there, transparently published it. That takes heart. Wow, Sue.
Oh,
what a phenomenal woman. You know, it is amazing what you've been through and the strength that you have. Now, you said this book, I believe you said, is on Amazon.
Yes, this book is on Amazon and it's on Kindle, it's on paperback, and it's on audiobook as well.
I got audio. You don't even have to flip the page. Love it. Love it. Love it. For those of you that are listening, it is a phenomenal read. I have read Sue's book. I just don't want to give away, oh my goodness, the story. But certainly many of us can find ourselves in her book, even if we have not dealt with infidelity in a marriage. It touches on so many levels. Sue, please tell us a little bit about what you want the audience to get from your book when they read it, because it's definitely not a book of pity.
I would like my audience to get from my book, I want to inspire them that regardless of whatever issues that you experience from your life, that I tell everyone after every chapter to hold their head up. Do not let anything bring you down, spiraling. And just to say a snippet, we in a Black community do not believe in therapy. And I emphasize the importance of therapy in our mental health because I had to deal with depression, anxiety, being on Xanax. And I proudly tell everybody to be compliant if you're given a medication because it is the difference in saving your life or you spiraling down. So my book elevates you. It tells you that you too don't have to stay down regardless of what you're going through.
I love the storyline of your book. Like I said, it definitely reaches into one's soul and meets you where you are. A must read, people. A must read. You have to get it for yourself. For those of you that say, I don't read, well, that's fine. That's why she has the audiobook, and it is definitely something you're not going to want to push pause on. Trust me. So Sue, just a little bit, because you talked about the therapy, I want to go back and touch bases on that. It is so true that many times therapy is taboo for Black and Brown communities, and it's so necessary. I too want to just put in that everything that you want to put into your health, as far as your diabetes, your heart issues, you know, all of that that you pay a physical doctor for, is pointless if you're not going to take care of your mental and your spiritual as well. Because we are multifaceted beings. If you've heard me say many times before, we are not one-dimensional. It is pointless to take care of one part and not the other, because you're not just one part. We're mental as well. And you have to have your head in the right place. Depression kills just like heart attacks. It's so important.
I agree. Oh, you hit the nail right on the head. That is why I put positive and uplifting affirmations in the book. That is why I put biblical verses in the book. Mm-hmm. I also put celebrity quotes because they touch my heart. And those two became uplifting to me. So the book surrounds you and hugs you with positivity.
Yes, yes. Love it, love it, love it. So, you know, as we pop our pills for our heart blood pressure, and, you know, we pop our pills for our thyroid and whatever else we're going to do, we're going to go to the gym to keep our physique straight, then make sure that we keep our head straight too. You know, whether it means that we have to take medication or we're just going to let some things out in an office with a professional that can give us advice back. It's okay. We're here to help each other. Truly, together we shine brighter. No one makes it alone. We're not able to. We're community. We were made to be a community. We're community beings. Iron sharpens iron. I believe there's a scripture that says that. I know it is. And I truly believe it. So off of that, just wanted to make sure that we touch bases for those out there that may be struggling in their mental, you know, with anxiety or depression or anger, whatever it is. It's okay to get help. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It means that you're strong enough to seek help.
Absolutely. And one thing that I know I want to remind our audience that forgiveness had to play a major part in my healing, because this is a process. It's a healing process. Mm-hmm. And, your mental, your physical, and it's mind, body, and soul. You have it's a complete healing, and forgiveness plays a major, major part of that. I had to forgive those people in order for me to heal, so that wouldn't become a cancer inside me and eat me up.
Yes, I can only imagine, but forgiveness is key. Even studies show that, like you said, forgiveness is like freeing, because when you hold that in, it is like cancer. It kills you, not the person you have the grudge against. Let it go. It may not feel good, but it is good. Forgiveness is the best thing you can do. It gives you your power and it allows you to hold your head up. So I totally agree with you there. And it's a process. It's not something that, you know, you click a button and it's done. It's a process. But anything in life worth having is worth working for and going through the process.
Absolutely.
You are so profound in all of the gems that you've dropped here today. Sue, tell us, what is next? I know you have new ventures for the new year. Please share with us.
Well, I always start my year with a vision board. The positive outlooks, what do I want? So my vision board is staring at me in the bathroom, on the bathroom door. It's in my wallet. It's in the car next to me. It's in my bedroom. So this is what I want. So that's my vision board. Secondly, I am writing a book on forgiveness as we speak. And I plan on that book coming out Women's History Month in March. I am also collaborating with several authors in a project that is also coming out in March. Mm-hmm. And lastly, I want to translate a three-ring circus in Spanish. So that should come out later in 2022. So, and hopefully on my vision board, I have more grandchildren. So let's see where God brings that. But so just growth and learning and ever evolving.
Yes. Yes. I love the fact that you have purposely planned things for Women's History Month. So important. And can't wait for your next book on forgiveness. Amazing, amazing. Now, if the audience would like to connect with you, how can they do so?
The audience can go to my website, www.athreeringcircus.com. I'm also on Instagram, athreeringcircus2021. I am also on TikTok, www.tiktok.com/@athreeringcircus. And of course, amazon.com/author/A3 Ring Circus.
There you have it. Wow. Please, please, please make sure that not only you get the book, but that you leave a review. As I say, the reviews do so much more for us authors. Sue Thomas, author of A 3 Ring Circus, a book about infidelity and so much more. Ms. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us on Purifying Truths. It has truly been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Amelia, for having me. I appreciate you.
And thank you for tuning in to Purifying Truths with A-Star. Tune in every Saturday at 9 and noon for exciting new guests who illuminate the world in the various facets of life. You too can connect with A-Star. Facebook and Instagram at Facets of a Star. Please visit the website www.facetsofastar.com. Shine bright.